There have been some really revealing investigative reports that have popped up this month, raising eyebrows for Connecticut residents. Let's start with this Connecticut Inside Investigative Report, revealing administrative officials at Central Connecticut State University were looking for creative ways to pay undocumented students for internships. But it didn't mention employment or even require a Social Security number. Joining us now to talk more about this is State Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding. And Senator Harding, what do you think about this story?
Well, Melissa, thanks for having me on. As always, truly enjoy your program and your show and for shedding light on these issues within our state government, which is so important. And I think this speaks overall to transparency in our state government, transparency surrounding our bureaucracy in our state government. And this speaks to a lot of issues. I mean, this issue in particular, Senator Summers and our caucus has worked very hard and diligently on and has really led the investigation, or at least the calls into the investigation on this issue. But really what it comes down to is our state bureaucrats are just openly not following the law. And whether it comes down to what we've seen with some officials setting up mayor's licenses as it relates to immigration and doing it seemingly in a very questionable way, or whether it's openly violating employment laws like what we're seeing here, whether it comes down to the Chancellor Chang and his spending practices and the investigation and audits that are going into some of the lavish expenditures that were utilized by him and his administration as it relates to the expenses and the credit cards given to state employees at the university system here in Connecticut. These are all questions that have to be asked. There has to be transparency in our state government. We have to shed a light on these issues, and particularly when you're dealing with taxpayer money funding these type of operations, the taxpayers deserve answers. It's that plain and simple.
Well, that's just it. It comes down to it doesn't matter what your political affiliation may be. I think if you live in the state of Connecticut and you pay taxes here in Connecticut, you're going to care about these matters. And, you know, going back to just the CCSU controversy right now, one of the things that was highlighted in this report, if any of the students were to work in these areas that receive grants, for example, that violates the federal grants that require people to be U.S. citizens. So we're breaking laws left and right if this were to actually be true. But also, what disservice it's doing to students who are here legally.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that, you know, so there's you create a different system, number one, which is always unfair inherently to begin with. But then secondarily, to your point, Melissa, not only are these officials allegedly violating employment laws, violating laws in general, but they're openly doing it. And I think what initially led to this investigation and led to the transparency surrounding this was the fact that the university system in the state, the CCSU, were essentially promoting this type of practice. And so you're promoting the obfuscation of the law here. And I think that really is the critical issue is if you might have an issue with our immigration system, you might have an issue with our federal laws, then by all means, go ahead, advocate for the change of it, et cetera. But to be unelected, a bureaucratic official within our state government, and then openly promoting the loopholes around our federal legal system, I think the taxpayers are understanding and saying that, you know, if you're going to get paid by us, the least we could do is ask you not to violate the law and then promote essentially the violation of the law.
I mean, that seems pretty straightforward.
Pretty basic.
Right. And just basic. Common knowledge. Exactly. And again, we have Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding here. Forgive me for asking this question, but to me, this screams a Department of Labor issue as well. Are they involved whatsoever being questioned in this?
Well, I think there's been an investigation that's been opened and asked for. I don't know exactly where that is in the process and the timeline. But yeah, I mean, I think the Department of Labor absolutely has to be brought into any investigation that occurs here because there's obviously a question whether or not significant labor laws have been violated based upon this practice potentially. So, you know, not only are you looking at it from the perspective of violating federal laws, But, you know, we have our own regulations regarding labor here in the state of Connecticut and complying with those regulations as well. And I think the Department of Labor would also have to take a look at this in this investigation and determine whether or not we had officials within our state government essentially, you know, violating labor laws and state laws in addition to federal violations here, obviously.
And again, we're talking to Senator Steve Harding, who, by the way, was tapped to remain the Senate Minority Leader, and you accepted that, correct?
I did. I was honored to have the support of the caucus, and we had another vote a couple of Thursdays ago, the Thursday after the election, honored to be given a full two-year term in this position. So I'm looking forward to really advocating for honesty and transparency in our government, which really is something that I think our caucus has really stood for over the past couple of years, and we're going to continue that practice here. The taxpayers deserve better from the state government. It's really that simple.
Well, congratulations to you, Senator Harding, and we always appreciate that you bring that kind of transparency here to Melissa in the Morning. You know, speaking of that, again, this is a totally separate investigation, but it's another one that raised eyebrows. This month in particular, there was a deep dive into an organized effort bringing non-citizens to marry as many as 100-plus Americans. And this was just in New Haven City Hall. We have learned since then that Bridgeport, for example, has now put a 48-hour waiting period in place because it's been abused in Bridgeport. There were other towns and cities that have had this issue, apparently. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's extremely disturbing. It's very plain to see that obviously something is going on. Again, utilizing loopholes surrounding our immigration system here in the country, and then finding those loopholes here in Connecticut to get around our immigration laws or to potentially fraudulently engage in a marriage to provide residency or citizenship, etc. When you're seeing that type of uptick in that type of manner, it seems like there's obviously something here to look at. And on top of that, I'm sure as you've seen, Melissa, and your listeners have heard it. Yes.
I was waiting for it. He'll get there.
Yeah, was heavily involved in this, which obviously just makes the situation that much more ripe for questioning and investigation, you know, based upon what her track record has been in Bridgeport with a voter fraud. So, this is just ripe for investigation. Ripe for transparency and questions. It seems like it's obviously a violation or obviously significant questions that lead to potentially violations of the law regarding our immigration laws here. But, you know, marriage fraud, too. And I think, Melissa, one of the things that I think we've lost sight on, you haven't, and I'm sure your listeners haven't either, but others, when I discuss it, seem to, you know, forget this point. And this is probably the most important point. Not only is this a violation potentially of immigration laws and getting around the loopholes in our immigration system, but, you know, you possibly have individuals that are getting taken advantage of significantly, being forced into certain marriages, either for money or for whatever else. And to do something like that to folks is just terrible. And so that's even more reason why something needs to be done. We've asked the Attorney General's office to step in here. I don't know if there has been a response yet. We have to see. But obviously something needs to be done because not only is it pretty obvious that immigration laws and marriage fraud is very likely being committed here, but in addition to that, you know, people are truly being taken advantage of, obviously, and being forced into these situations, which is inherently unfair to those individuals being forced into this.
We are required to consolidate the entire bill so a customer gets one bill. Behind the scenes, 50% of that bill on average is going to the supply companies, 10% of that bill on average is covering the public benefits costs, and 40% is actually going to Eversource.
If this you are hearing from the president of Eversource, and this was just heading into the weekend, if you missed the news, it's actually here on Melissa in the Morning. We've been talking about it. Eversource officials broke down their winter rates as it filed its standard biannual supply rate adjustment to PURA. And while it is down by about 24% for the standard service customers, compare that to the summer rate, it's still up about 7%. So you will see a little bit of bump if PURA approves it. Compound this with also the news this month about Yankee Gas trying to up their rates as well. Again, Senator Harding, it just feels like if you're an energy customer here in Connecticut and you use Eversource or even UI, you're just going to keep struggling. That's what it seems like.
Unfortunately, Melissa, you're right. And really what's happening and what's frustrating about this, and you've covered this very well, and I appreciate your coverage on this, and your listeners know because of your work on this, is we've had opportunities here in the state of Connecticut to really stop the bleeding. We can put more transparency around the rates. We can finally move that public benefit charge off of the being baked into your rate costs and onto the state budget, which is where it should be, as opposed to baking it into essentially a hidden tax that the energy consumers are paying here in the state of Connecticut. And unfortunately, this problem is only going to get worse. Right now, as I understand, the governor's office and the majority in the legislature are considering purchasing wind procurement energy that's 3 or 4 times what the market rate is. For regular sources of energy. That's only going to be baked into your costs, and then that rise that public benefit, rise your energy bills even further than where it is today, which is just unconscionable to think about considering what so many hardworking residents are paying now, what they had to pay in the summer, and what they're going to be paying going into the winter months if they have to heat their home on electric. I mean, so families are struggling to pay this. In some households, it's becoming the largest bill in their house, which is just unconscionable to think. And so we have to do something about this to tackle this. I'm committed. I know the Senate Republican Caucus is committed to doing something about this upcoming session, finally providing some much-needed relief to the ratepayers because they need it now. And when you hear things like this, that the rates are only going up, that PURA continues to approve these increases, it just makes the matter that much worse, that much harder for hardworking middle-class families in our state.
What confuses me, Senator Harding, about the rates constantly going up or the pitches to PURA to have them go up is it feels like, at least on the surface, that this is a bipartisan agreement that, you know, like I look at Attorney General William Tong, who to me, I think aligns very much with the Democratic Party here in Connecticut, but he says it constantly. Read the room, Eversource. Connecticut families are fed up. This is an obvious overreach. And I mean, he said that about Yankee Gas. He's saying it again about Eversource now adjusting their rates again. So why can't we agree on having this better under control?
Well, I think that it's bipartisan in terms of frustrations with PURA. And PURA, I think, has done some things that obviously is contrary to the consumer. When they're pushing down these rate increases, when we already have the third highest rates in the country, when they're doing that, obviously there's bipartisan frustration, as there should be. And so PURA has certainly made significant mistakes here. There's no doubt about it. They need to be far more consumer friendly. I think there's generally a bipartisan agreement for the most part on that talking point or that issue. But I think where you see the party lines further drawn is really in the policies that are driving up the cost. Because really what it comes down to is the fact that we are forcing DEEP and other state energy procurement entities to purchase energy at 3 times the market rate on many different energy resources under this kind of Green New Deal kind of guise. And that's where I think you see a significant line, because the Republicans, and the Senate Republicans for that matter, are saying, no, don't purchase energy resources at more than 1.5 times what the market rate is. Don't put that on the backs of the consumers. You're not seeing that type of hesitation with the Democrats, unfortunately. And I don't think I've heard from Attorney General Tong on that specific issue, in fact. So he may be venting frustration with PURA, which Senate Republicans certainly agree with. They could be doing far better in terms of looking out for the consumer. But that's only one aspect of this. The secondary aspect are the policies in Hartford and in the legislature that continue to drive up the cost exponentially of energy in the state. And you're not hearing as much, if anything at all, from Democrats in terms of actually having hesitation about procuring wind energy at more than 1.5 times the market rate. And in some cases, with wind procurement, potentially at 4 times the market rate that the consumers are going to have to pay for.
Right. Well, Senator Harding, I appreciate you having this conversation. And certainly we know this is going to be a topic of conversation for the upcoming legislative session in January. So I know we'll be chatting again very soon. Thank you so much.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Senator Harding here on Melissa in the Morning.